Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Michael Keegan, your host, and our guest today is Chris Hamm, Director of the Federal Systems Integration and Management Center, FedSIM. Also joining us from IBM is Tom Berkey. So, Chris, I get to talk to a lot of my guests about the use of collaboration and partnerships among agencies, the private sector, to achieve mission results. And how are you leveraging at FedSIM partnerships and collaboration to improve operations, achieve program outcomes, and mission execution?
This goes back to what surprised me about that lack of transparency.
Sure.
So I'm here giving an interview. I also try and interact with any sort of trade association or public venue where I can interact with both industry and with government. Mm-hmm. I'm very active in the ACT-IAC organization. I've also recently started being active in AFSEA, the Bethesda chapter of AFSEA, and now Affirm. I've even done some other smaller ones. There's probably an acronym somewhere out there that I haven't joined yet. But the purpose for being in all of these individual associations is you have to have a network and relationships with the industry partners and with other government leaders. And by me going out there and interacting with them, whenever something happens, I can get a phone call that I can address something that's a failure rather than having to go through some sort of formal memo, congressional protest kind of thing. Interact with people face-to-face, develop relationships, and then you'll be able to influence whatever's happening rather than just, you know, being the stodgy old siloed government. And so I'm trying to get out there in order to interact more with people, and I'm trying to get other people, so I'm trying to, you know, recruit them into participating so that you can pick your head up away from your desk and think about what's good for the government overall versus what protects my job security and safety around the individual job that I have.
So, Chris, a cornerstone of successful performance management is support from leadership and the use of good analytics. Would you elaborate on how you're using analytics, not only to improve services and quality, but also to identify new customers and services?
We do something that's somewhat unique. It happens only at FedSIM. I've seen it at one or two other federal agencies that also have some sort of underlying fee-based model. The Office of the Comptroller of the Currency does something similar, and SEC does something similar. As an organization, my employees fill out a daily time card that accounts for what project they're working on, which translates to the amount of cost that we have that's going to be billed to a customer. It doesn't sound revolutionary. It sounds pretty ordinary because that's what every contractor in the world does. You have accountability for your time. You think about, I spent 2 hours on this assignment and put it into this job code and your Deltek system or whatever your system is, rolls all that up. What I do with that data, I can tell you today exactly how much it cost me to award each of those 140 projects that we have. I mean, down to the penny. I know based on the bottoms up on my budget and how much I'm spending on the organization and how much time costs and, you know, what people's goals are for how much time they spend, I know how much the CDM program cost me. I could tell Congress that number tomorrow. Very few people could say what their acquisition activity actually cost them. If I were in charge, and I've submitted this as the President's Save Award like every year in a row now, everybody votes it down because they hate the idea, but just make everybody fill out a time card. I don't even care if there's money on it. Make people think about their time having value and assign that time to projects, and that alone could be transformational for the government. Mm-hmm. You could think about what you're doing in your time and it has value, and then you'd force people to have the conversations that otherwise they would just avoid on why it's taking so long.
Chris, you're known as a smart, young, and energetic leader. Where do you plan to take FedSIM in the years to come?
Tell me more, Tom. My first reaction was, did my mom write this question? Is there anything you can't do? No, in all seriousness, what I'd really like to do is I'd like to extend our technical platform to be available to be used government-wide. It's got a ways to go. I've still got to do some time and attention on it. But in general, because we're not treating acquisition like it's a value-added activity, it tends to be a bolt-on onto a financial system. Every agency cares very much about how they spend their money. And so one of the first things that they built, a lot of companies got into this market space in the 70s and 80s, systems for tracking the money. And over time, the system for tracking the money got additional features to show that how, a procurement request or an order or something moves through that financial system. But it's designed by the financial people. It's not designed by the acquisition people. Mine's coming at it from the other side. I've got to take everybody's money, so I've got a financial system that checks and makes sure that it's, you know, the right year and color and all of that of money. But my system was built as an acquisition workflow system that plugs into all the government-wide databases that are available to, for us to have some sort of interconnection with. So you get a, you know, like whenever you go on a modern website, there's a very clear step one, step two, step three, step four, and your order is done. I want to have that kind of platform extended to everyone else so that they can take their own money. They're not using my services. They're just taking this underlying platform and showing at each step in the process all of the stakeholders who care about that thing. This is it. Acquisition planning, this is under competition, this thing is awarded, this is when the options are coming up. You log on just the way that you log on today at home at your bank. You know, you just type in your username and password. You can see all the transactions that you had, what you did with everything. There is no reason why the government doesn't have an equivalent version of that for how we're spending our money. And if you did it all through one system, all the data that you'd be entering into FPDS would be accurate. You would never have to have this separate divining company that tells you where spending is going and analysis on it. And all of the other, you know, things you need to check, like the excluded parties list and all of the CPARS reports, all of that should be one platform that everybody's connecting to rather than us building 27 individual procurement financial system bolt-ons. That's where I think we all need to go.
Excellent. So, Chris, as you reflect on your career in public service, what advice would you give someone who's considering such a career?
I started as a presidential management intern. Now it's a fellow, but the concept was you bring people into the government, relatively high grades for coming in. You start out as a 9, then you go to an 11, and then a 12. And the idea is you get people out of grad school who are still trying to make a difference and can try and shift the government. The washout rate in my program was about 50% at year 2, and it was much higher. I only know a couple from the class that I was in that are still federal employees. And I noticed a trend there of the ones who thought that they could come to Washington and make an immediate change at the mid-job level were very dissatisfied. Mm-hmm. They ended up trying to, you know, they went to the State Department or somewhere, and then ultimately they left because they weren't in charge of their own programs. They couldn't make a meaningful impact, so they went to nonprofits or somewhere else. I'm not sure, you know, how effective, you know, each agency is right now at the bringing people in are going to try and drive change. But at least in my experience, what's kept me here and what I think that other people can find, whether or not it's in my agency or in other parts, is there are pockets of true innovation within the government where the workforce is valued, the technology is cutting edge, and at a younger age than you would in the private sector, you have responsibility control of a major program. When I was 25 years old, I was in charge of an $800 million program. That's amazing. My friends didn't believe it. And so if you want to work for the government, there's incredible opportunity if you can find the right environment that aligns with what your underlying needs are. The best example I'd say for like working at GSA, you know, I don't work in the CIO shop. I don't have a vested interest in praising them. But I have my Android phone here. I have Google as my email. I have a virtual desktop environment where I can log on from my home computer if I want to. I'm assigned a laptop. I have the ability to make a hotspot with that thing. So I can do my job from anywhere. GSA is incredibly progressive at, you know, I got young kids. I got to work from home today because one of them's got strep throat. I can get my entire job done. Every system I need to access, I can access it from anywhere. That's not something most companies can say. Mm-hmm. So you find some place that's like that, that you can drive at, you're going to get an opportunity to be more successful at a younger age than you're going to see in most regular private careers.
That's terrific insight. This has been a great conversation, Chris. I appreciate you coming in, taking some time out of your busy day. But more importantly, Tom and I would like to thank you for your dedicated service to the country.
Thank you very much. I mean, I'm really happy to have an opportunity to talk about some of our initiatives. And if anyone, you know, just wants to have the opportunity to bounce some ideas off of anyone, I'd love to talk to anybody about procurement. I'm very passionate about how we do this. And if anyone wants copies of those templates or some of the processes that we've developed, government stuff, free to share. Hopefully that you can implement more things so that we can make the entire government more efficient in the future.
This has been the Business of Government Hour, a conversation with Chris Ham, Director of FedSim. My co-host from IBM has been Tom Bertke. Be sure to join us next week for another informative, insightful, and in-depth conversation on improving government effectiveness. For the Business of Government Hour, I'm Michael Keegan, and thanks for joining us.
This has been the Business of Government Hour. Be sure to visit us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. There you can learn more about our programs and get a transcript of today's conversation. Until next week, it's businessofgovernment.org.